Experience the difference. 8:34 the time, 26 minutes shy of 9 o'clock, as we do each and every Thursday morning. And it's, by the way, it's an absolutely gorgeous Thursday morning. And as we do each and every Thursday morning, we have the good fortune to speak with our mayor, and she's in right now with us. Good morning, Mayor Sue Kemp. How are you today?
Good morning, Ed. I haven't been outside yet this morning. Is it warm out like yesterday?
It's not like yesterday. It's cooled down substantially from the last couple of days, but it's still warm. It still feels kind of that beginning or end of summery feeling. The birds are singing in my ear that this is the last of the heat. We'll be seeing cool weather from now on.
Yeah, you know, yesterday it was so weird. When I got up, the weather was kind of normal, and then all of a sudden... like a blowtorch the rest of the day.
Oh, you're not kidding. So I was commenting earlier that on my drive up the canyon, right at the El Toro and Laguna Canyon Road corner right there when you make that right turn, it was 93 according to the thermometer in the car there. 93.
I know. It's so strange. I also heard it's supposed to rain on Saturday. I haven't looked it up yet, but somebody told me that yesterday.
All right. Okay.
Well, I don't know if that's...
I'm ready for whatever weather brings. Once we're in October, I'm ready for anything. I'm ready for heat. I'm ready for rain. Whatever the weather brings. But I'm not ready for an earthquake, which, by the way, I got to mention, today is the Great American Shakeout at 10:20 this morning. Do you and Cheryl have an earthquake kit at the house ready to go?
Oh, yeah. We have all that. And we have our to-go packs. And, yeah, we're ready to go. We've done that a long time. Well, I went through CERT, so... Right. That heightened my awareness about everything. So, I'm definitely prepared.
Excellent.
I mean, you're never quite ready for anything like that. But,
right.
But, you know, we're as prepared as we can be, I think. Yeah, definitely.
Right. I think everybody should be you're never prepared for the actual moment, but we should be as prepared as can be. And also, since we have supplies for ourselves, it's always important to remember to have supplies for your pets as well, which I'm sure you do.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we have an 11-year-old doodle, and he can't miss a meal.
Right, exactly. I've been talking all morning long about the governor having signed Senate Bill 1439, which extends the Levines Act pay-to-play and recusal requirements to local elected officials who receive campaign contributions from people that are going to appear before them. So here, locally, maximum contributions for an individual is $440. This cutoff is at $250. So anyone that donates to a campaign more than $250, our city council member that is hearing a case would have to recuse himself. Is this your understanding of that law?
Right. That's my understanding. And, you know, interestingly enough, and I always thought this was kind of weird, when you are on an appointed, so in the past, before this legislation went through, in the past, which is, I think, why they've corrected this, is if you are a appointed official from the city council, so let's say you're appointed to design review or appointed to the planning commission, those two bodies, then you couldn't take more than, I think you had to stay under $250, or else if you were then elected,
right,
then you can't hear an issue before you at the city council.
Okay.
So now they extended it to the electives, which is the way it should have been in the first place.
Right.
Kind of backwards.
Right.
Right. I'm glad they did that, because that just makes it cleaner overall. And, you know, we don't have, you know, I don't see a huge threat for this, but, you know, we should stick to the same policy for everybody. I don't think it's onerous. I think it's a good thing.
Right.
It's just another thing you have to track.
Right.
When you're collecting donations, just be really thoughtful about, you know, who you're collecting money from. But, you know, we don't have a lot of, you know, we're a tiny city, so there's not a lot of, you know, people that are going to come before us that, you know, are, you know, somehow going to be, you know, we have to recuse ourselves, or we don't have that much of that, but we will have instances of it probably.
Right. And when you do, it's important to have something in place, procedures in place that are standardized and everyone can follow the same rules. I think my question this morning was, it goes into effect on January 1st of next year. And is it your understanding that it'll also affect this election, so it'll be retroactive to this current election.
I think so. I haven't asked our city attorney. I keep forgetting to ask him that, but I think so. And then I think it's a period of 12 months. Right. You know, so you can't. Someone has given you more than $250. Let's say they give you the top, the full amount, $440 or something. You can't. If there's something that comes before you in 12 month period, I think it's when you can't hear it. Something like that.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, we'll keep on that. And then when it comes up, and if it ever comes up during a council meeting, we'll bring this moment back up in our conversation.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I wish we could do this as a country. You know, I just, you know, once Citizens United, you know, got through the Supreme Court, you know, I wish that we could just designate a certain amount of money every year for elections and it's just doled out to the candidates. And so, you kind of have a level playing field, so you don't have to. First of all, when you're running, so I'm running, obviously, and, you know, you have to run your ads and you have to run your campaign, so you have to get contributions, you have to buy your signs and all that stuff. It's not, right. You know, it's hard to do it because if you don't collect money, you have to do it.
Right.
It's not something any candidate really wants to do, and I think, you know, most, particularly on the local level, it'd be so much better if there was just a certain amount of money that was given to people to run, and you just manage your money the best you can, and you spend more of your time out in the community and talking to people and less of your time fundraising. I mean, this is true across the board, all levels of government. I just think it's such a bad, you know, and you're prone to, particularly in these, not so much in our little teeny races here, but in these bigger elections where there's just hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars pouring in for all kinds of things, it's not a good idea. It's just kind of ruining our democracy. And I wish we could rein it in. I don't know how that's going to happen. The people at some point are going to have to stand up and force the issue. But it's just, you know, we're just trending the wrong way when we do that.
It's so funny that as you say that, as you're speaking, I'm looking over at my text connect and you've got one listener that chimes in going, yeah, Sue. And then another one that chimed in going, exactly. So, yeah, you hit the exact nerve right there. That's exactly what. Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, that's something that's always annoyed me. Do you remember when Obama at the State of the Union called the Supreme Court out and they were sitting in the front row, called him out for that?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, you know, that was a really bold move by a president to do that to the Supreme Court. But he was exactly right. And look, we're just continuing to be a problem. I mean, you know, when you're filling out your ballot, particularly on state propositions, you can't figure out, you know, what is the proposition? You know, first of all, I don't like any ballot box planning. I think it's all horrible thing to do because it confuses the voters.
Right.
But then you have to figure out, okay, this ballot proposition 27, what is it? Who's behind it? Where does the money go? And still, I'm not sure you quite know. So it's just such a mess. I wish we would just go back to, you know, just having a regular election and letting our legislators decide these things rather than trying to throw them on the ballot, confusing everybody. I mean, we have enough confusion here in our local election between these three ballots. You know, it's unnecessary.
Beautifully stated. Beautifully stated. Let's talk a little bit about Tuesday night. So back in August, the council voted 5-0 to approve the purchase and authorize the city manager to make a formal offer to the Diocese of Orange for the $23 million purchase of St. Catherine of Siena, the property over here. And it was in escrow for a period of 120 days. And during regular business on Tuesday, the council considered the lease financing of the $12 million to finance a portion of the cost. How did that go? What happened? Where can we move forward from here?
Right. So we have to have, we're paying half cash and then we're just going to finance the rest. We got a pretty good, I think 3.95% rate, which was really good in this kind of inflationary environment. So we did a good job negotiating. It's kind of private bank funding and we have an early out. We can pay it off early if we like. We can handle the debt financing. I think the debt financing is around $850,000. We can fund that easily, you know, out of our general fund because we have a, you know, we're always careful about our money, but we paid off a side fund on the pension liability of $10 million. It's paid off now, so we don't, that debt servicing goes away, so we can, you know, we can pay for St. Catherine's easily. You know, we have to just make sure that the diligence period is complete, I think, by November 18th, which we'll make easily. But anyway, that was the last piece of the puzzle in terms of acquiring St. Catherine's, and then we'll start talking about what to do with it, you know, in the new year. Right. But it was good to get that down. I think Gavin Kern did an excellent job, you know, figuring out our financing model. We had some help from some professionals as well. They were very well versed in this different methods of financing, so they were present at the council meeting. So I think it was a pretty good job.
Right. I found on Tuesday night that staff really had their stuff together with this. It was really well put together.
Definitely. Well, you know, Gavin's an excellent finance director, and you know, he covers his bases. He's very thoughtful. He's careful. You know, and I have a lot of confidence in him. I've worked with him for quite a while now, and you know, I know we're in excellent hands with him. And then, you know, the city manager provides really good oversight as well. So, you know, I feel, you know, we're well taken care of on the financial side here in Laguna.
Right. And you mentioned the interest rate. I have every Wednesday I speak to one of the nation's most sought after financial advisors. Every Wednesday we have a conversation about investments and the economy in general. And she claimed to me yesterday that anything in that 3 range is a fantastic deal at this point. Any percentage, any interest rate in that 3 range is a fantastic deal for the city.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And when I actually got the report, I thought, oh man, will you go, Gavin? Good job, you know? I was really surprised because I was a little bit worried about that, thinking, oh man, just a timing problem, you know, with this weird economic situation that we're in right now. I thought, oh man, the timing might be a little off, but you know, the financing model's great, so I'm happy with that.
Okay. Well, yeah, and we've talked about it before, the purchase of St. Catharines and the way that you're approaching it, it's a no-brainer. It's one of the greatest moves that we could see made. Before I get into my final question, there's been a back and forth with the Measure Q people, and we talked about this last week, and one of the council members is putting out email blasts, and the information in these blasts is not correct. Explain to us specifically the fire station in South Laguna and the problem with having the 3 adjacent lots, and then what they're claiming. Explain to us where they're wrong.
Well, they put a ballot measure that if you combine lots over 7,500 square feet, it has to go to the ballot. I mean, first of all, that's what they put in their ballot measure. The parcel that we're buying is roughly 17,500 square feet, and it has 3 parcels. So, of course, we're not just going to build on 7,500 square feet. We're going to build on more than that, even, because we're going to have a nice state-of-the-art fire station down there. So there's 2 reasons. This is why back to what I said, I don't like these kind of – I don't like propositions or ballot box planning. Back to our earlier conversation, because this once again confuses people no end. This is what, you know, good elected officials and good city staff figure out for the residents.
Right.
Rather than having them try to figure out, you know, which end is up.
It's why we elect you, right?
Yeah, that's right. So the reason is you can't just move a lot. You can't move a lot. You can't, for one thing, preposterous statement. You can go to the counter and move a lot line. You can't do any, you can't do anything over the counter hardly in Laguna Beach. Okay, so let's start with that. But going down into the basic laws, the land use laws, you can't, so first of all, it's a violation of the Subdivision Map Act. It's a violation of our zoning code, particularly the South Laguna Village Zoning Code. It says you can't make a lot smaller. So in other words, you can't move a line. If you have 3 parcels, you can't make a little teeny lot out of something.
Right.
You can't do that. You just can't do it. I mean, it's kind of a preposterous argument, but it's their argument, but it's not valid. The city attorney has weighed in and told them point blank, no, you can't do this, but they still, you know, want to advance that because, you know, basically it's a drafting error, you know, in Measure Q.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for that explanation. I appreciate that. A couple of more things before I let you go. A couple of more things about this past Tuesday night. There was a resolution ratifying side letter agreements with you had to go to 4 different labor associations for a holiday closure pilot program. Essentially, city employees who are already getting the Monday and the Friday are now getting the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at that slow time of year. Explain to us exactly what that means for them.
Well, that means that, you know, we'll basically City Hall will be closed, you know, on the holidays, which, you know, we're not busy during the holidays anyway. Right. And it's not a big financial impact to Laguna Beach, to our budget or anything. It's just that we're extending an opportunity for people to, you know, have that week off. And, you know, in this environment where, and it's not, it's true for all cities, it's true in all sectors of, you know, of the economy. It's just, you know, you want to try to keep your people.
Right.
And, you know, just throwing out these benefits here and there to help people along or to, you know, show them we care about you and we value your work. You have to make the trade-off. Well, you know, if we kept City Hall closed, you know, how many people would we, you know, keep from, prevent from, you know, getting some work done if they come to the counter versus, you know, just try to, you know, make it, you know, just a nice holiday for our employees. So we just try to keep a balance. We're not typically busy down there during between Christmas and New Year's. And when I was working, if I wasn't out of town, I would usually go into the office because most of my staff was off and I could get a lot of work done.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, nobody was around.
Well, allow me to share a personal story here. So, yeah, I think it's an absolute great morale booster, first of all, for any company that does something like that. Here at the radio station, we have the good fortune that that Tyler is willing to give holidays off. I come in no matter what. I come in every day because I have that choice, though. And for me, it makes me feel great to know, yeah, if I wanted it, I could take it off. But I come in. I'm that guy. But I enjoy that. I enjoy the fact of knowing, it's a morale booster for everyone else in the studio, everyone else that works at the radio station. It's a morale boost. And I think the same thing would hold true for the city.
Right. No, that's right. And, you know, our staff works hard and we have way more work than we have people. I think that's true for most, you know, most cities because you can never staff to the necessarily to the level that you need because, you know, sometimes your, you know, requests for, you know, service are, you know, kind of up and down. So, you know, you don't ever do that because it's not good for management. But they do work really hard. We have a really nice staff of people. They're great to work with. I've worked with a lot of these people for a long time, and then we have some new people on board, too. So I just want to support our staff. That's just good management. And I think for the council, it's a pilot program. We'll try it this year. We'll see how it works. If it doesn't work well, we get a lot of complaints or something, then we'll look at it next year.
Agreed. Well done. So we're about an hour and a half away from the Great California Shakeout. You ready for it?
I'm hoping it doesn't happen. You know, that's a great shakeout and two fires while I'm the mayor. I don't think I like that. you know, I have my to-go pack. I've had my to-go pack for quite a few years now because I was on the first, I was in the first CERT class, which was, I don't even know, 10 years ago or so. We got a lot of trained CERT. We have over 400 people trained in CERT now, I think.
And tell us the value. Tell us the value of that. It's a valuable class to take.
Right. So, you know, you go through a series of things. One, they teach you simple things like how to turn off your gas line, you know, if there's an earthquake. Then they also take you through. So it could be if you have a big disaster where you deploy CERT. CERT people, let's say if there wasn't like you're not going into a fire situation, but let's say, you know, post-disaster, you know, immediately, CERT people are trained to go in and try to mark the garage doors or the outside of the house, whether they're safe or they need somebody to come in and take, you know, they need further attention. So there's that. They teach you CPR. They talk to the police department, takes you through, you know, some of their ways they handle certain issues. So it's just a really good kind of an awareness training. It's fun. I think it's, I don't know if it's 6 or 8 weeks. I can't remember what the schedule is now. But it's really fun, you know, and the people that I was in that CERT class with, I'm still friends with. You know, I know I see them around town, and, you know, some of them are on our disaster preparedness committee now. Matt Lawson's one of them. He was chair. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that I think, that's why people are so interested in going through it, and they tell others, because it's a good experience. If everybody went through CERT training in our town, that would be really great.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I encourage people to do it. We used to do it twice a year. I don't know if we're doing it. Well, the pandemic's just kind of messed everything up, but we used to do it twice a year, so I think maybe we just do it once a year. I don't really know at the moment, but people should go through it.
Right. I think we're on a once-a-year time right now, and I think twice a year might be a lot more helpful as well. Mayor Sue Kemp, what's the rest of your day look like today?
Oh, I have some Zoom meetings, and, you know, I'll be out and about as usual, and, you know, it's just a busy time.
That
we don't have a council meeting again until November 15th. So
okay, so next
we have a little bit of time now.
Next council meeting will be after the election. Okay.
That's right. So in between now and then.
Well, we'll definitely look forward to seeing you around town. And as always, I appreciate the time you spend with us today. Thank you so very much, Mayor Sue Kemp.
Thank you, Ed. Always great to be with you, and have a good day, everybody.
Have a great day as well. 8:55 the time.
Hey there, it's Soren Bryce from Tummy Ache, and I listen to Human Crafted Radio online at kxfmradio.org.